Milena, what's something that you'd really like to automate in your house?
Something I'd like to automate. So a couple of things we have already automated in our home.
Okay.
So when I tell our voice assistant, for example, please switch to the movie night scene, then it switches the lights, dims the lights, and changes the colors.
Okay.
But what I'd really like to automate, my coffee maker, maybe, so that I could just tell it to please provide me with my very favorite coffee at like 8 a.m. in the morning. I'd love that. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I definitely wouldn't mind having like a service that would bring up my motorbike right in front of the house and I just need to hop onto it. I think that could be kind of cool as an automation.
Like,
yeah, I'm going to go out. So please bring the motorbike at the front of the house. But hey, we can always dream, because while not all of these ideas might be feasible to accomplish in the near future, smart home technology is becoming much easier and much more versatile. Today, we're looking at a new standard called Matter, and we're talking to the guy who brings Bosch smart home products into the Matter universe.
From know-how to wow, the Bosch Global Podcast.
Ever heard of HD DVD, Milena?
HD DVD?
Is it?
I mean, I remember DVDs. Oh God, I'm that old.
Ah, stop it.
So for our younger listeners, there was a world before streaming when we played movies and series from discs.
Funnily enough, wow. I still own DVDs, so there you go.
Me too.
We'll call it the dark ages. But anyways, DVDs were relatively low resolution, so SD, and it was time for an upgrade to HD.
Ah, right. But wasn't that called Blu-ray?
Okay, so if you only remember Blu-ray, you're lucky, because there was also HD DVD. That was a competing standard.
Ah.
So some people, like your family, bought Blu-ray players and Blu-ray discs.
Mm-hmm.
Other households bought HD DVD players and HD DVD discs. The latter soon regretted their decision, obviously.
So considering that I can only remember Blu-ray, I guess it was more popular, wasn't it?
Yeah, we could say it was definitely more popular. And HD DVD disappeared and people were stuck with a useless player device. Why am I telling you this? Because consumers face similar decisions today when they want to buy smart home devices.
Ah, yeah, right. There are different ecosystems that are not compatible with each other.
You must decide, am I going with system A or system B?
Answer is, of course, B, as in Bosch.
So we'd hope that in this option, system B is Bosch. But so if you like Bosch products, you start with one Bosch smart home device. And when you later want to add more, it makes sense to stick to Bosch, because then, you know, the different devices can talk to each other and they can be controlled from the same application.
But if I also like something from system A, then I'd have to use system A's app.
Until now. Because now we have Matter.
Let me give you an example to describe what Matter is.
This is Bosch engineer Michael Züge.
I have in my house several door window contacts, so contacts that will detect if a door is open or closed. The same goes for a window. Unfortunately, those are different vendors. That means if I want to get the information, I have to open the application, the specific vendor application, to check the current status. Matter will try to solve that by introducing a common ecosystem where all the devices that vendor-specific speak a common language to interact with each other.
So to make it clear, Matter is not a Bosch invention. It's kind of a global standard.
At least that's what it aims to be. Some of the biggest tech companies got together to create Matter. So there's a pretty good chance that it will indeed become that universal language that unifies all of these different smart home systems. Michael has been busy getting Bosch smart home products Matter compatible and certified.
Well, that must have been an exciting time for him, because over the past few months, we released our first Matter certified products.
Exactly.
we have released several Meta-supported devices within Smart Home, and I'm trying to get everything not just certified, but also tested and out to the world the best way possible.
So to get there, Michael read through thousands of pages of very technical descriptions of the Matter standard, and then went to work and helped implement it, test the implementations, and eventually completed the official certification process.
Sadly, we don't have the time to go through thousands of pages. I know you guys would have wanted that so badly. So Shuko, what's the essence of it? What does your typical Matter network look like?
So I'm happy to break it down for you. So let's imagine your smart home as a band, you know, playing the perfect song.
Mm-hmm.
The common language that all the devices speak, as Michael described, is Matter. That's the beat that every band member follows. And then there are a bunch of players who add their parts to the smart home band.
Oh, I love that analogy.
The most common things are, first of all, edge devices, which will represent your sensors, your actuators, something like your light bulb, your door window contact, your smart lock, your heating system, everything that is usually one specific device type or could be multiple device types, things you either interact or see the result out of it.
That was the obvious part, the edge devices. Mm-hmm, got it.
The next thing, that's something the user usually interacts with, is a commissioner. That is usually a software, usually used on your smartphone, that will create one Meta network and will allow devices to join this Meta network. It acts like a manager that decides on what device can be included, what device should be removed out of it, and checks for integral functions like, is it certified, is it compatible, or is it functional for the network to continue.
The app that I use to connect the devices in my smart home is called the Commissioner.
Not to be confused with the Controller. That's up next.
So a Meta controller controls the edge devices that I mentioned earlier. It keeps the state of each device, it keeps the knowledge how a device functions and tracks it for you. So a Meta controller can send commands to your devices like turning on, turning off, monitor their status, integrate them into scenes and routines. It also plays a role in the setup and commissioning itself, ensuring it's properly connected within the network and keeping it secured.
And with that, now you have a complete Matter network.
Or to stick with the analogy, and I loved that one, a pretty nice track, a nice song. But I do have to admit as well, it sounds quite complex.
True, but trust me, let's add to the complexity with one additional device before we make it simpler again.
Let's add to the complexity. Sounds good. Let's do that.
So this little bonus device is called a Matter Bridge. Well, it's not even a real Matter device.
A Matter Bridge, funnily enough, is not really something that is specified by the CSA, so the main organization driving Matter, also the standardization organization.
But a Matter Bridge can be a crucial part of making a smart home Matter ready.
The Matter Bridge is something like a translator that translates non-Matter speaking devices into the Matter world.
Well, Milena, to stick to the analogy that you really liked of the band, so imagine it's like you'd invite a lot more members into the band, and if you don't know the Matter song that they've been working on, you can still play along with it thanks to this bridge.
Oh, you've just made the analogy even better. Okay, Yeah, I think I got it.
So if you have an environment that you're currently using that is not Matter compatible, but it offers Matter Bridge functionality, it offers all these non-compatible devices with a translation to the Matter network itself. That means Meta devices will be able to interact with those devices, but those devices will not see Meta devices itself. So it opens in one direction, but in one direction only.
Oh, but that's nice, I think, because all the early adopters that bought smart home devices before Matter was even invented or created, they might still be able to bring these older devices into a Matter network this way. Sweet. Love that.
So it's like you bought a bunch of HD DVDs, but thanks to an adapter, they can be played in a Blu-ray player. Except a Matter bridge exists while a DVD adapter does not.
Okay. Now we have this, like, zoo of different types of devices in a Matter network. Shuko, you promised to simplify it, remember?
I don't know if I promised, but I did say it will be simple again. So, but it is easy. And the good news is knowing this stuff is actually optional.
As a consumer, you don't really need to know this information.
So, as Michael said, as a consumer, but you know Jeff, I'm pretty sure he would fully go into all of these things. So,
absolutely.
Only if you really, 100%. So Jeff, this is for you. Only if you want to really get deep into your smart home tech.
If you want to develop something like that or get into the nitty-gritties.
See? Typical Jeff.
The nitty-gritties.
Or really enjoy the matter itself, then you will come across those specifics. But from a consumer perspective, don't assume that you will get in contact with that.
And we will see this again later. It's really up to the user how much they want to get into the nitty-gritty of these things.
There are a lot of people who really want to get into it. And in addition to Jeff, we found another one.
Uh-huh.
Because there are a few people who go even beyond that and talk about their smart home setup on YouTube. And one of them is Chris West. His YouTube channel is called Mostly Chris, if you want to look him and it up.
Getting into it was, it's kind of love for technology and what technology can do. I didn't have any grand thing to solve, any big issue to solve in my house. I just want to start playing with it. And I did it 4 or 5 years ago when things weren't really smart to begin with. And it was a new concept in general.
So Chris West is really, truly an early adopter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He had to deal with some kinks in those early day systems that someone who starts today hopefully won't encounter anymore. But in general, his smart home journey sounds pretty typical.
When I was learning all of this, I did it from a, let me just see if I can install a switch and make it turn on or off. And as that grew, I said, okay, I want to be able to turn off the lights when I go to bed without having to walk to all the switches. Or I want to turn on the alarm without having to walk to all the switches. And I started that way. And then I started doing more of the automation, more of the conditional kind of controlling.
So that's a very interesting point in any smart home journey, because that's the point where things are starting to actually get smart.
So true. So in the beginning, you might just, you know, touch a button on your phone to turn on the light instead of walking to the light switch. And that is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But when things happen automatically, just when you need them, that's smart.
And here's what that looks like in Chris's case in his house in Texas.
But for me, the most useful automation is when I turn on the alarm, all the fans go off, all the lights go off, the doors lock, the garage door closes, the HVAC gets set. And so I have all these things that happen. That assures me that when I leave, I don't have stuff running that is using electricity that doesn't need to be used. The temperature is set to a level where I'm not cooling the house or heating the house when there's nobody in here. I've got all the security devices enabled, the door locks, the windows, everything else, right? And it happens both when the alarm is armed when I'm away and even at nighttime when we're home and going to bed, it still checks everything. So that one there is probably one of the most useful.
I have accidentally left the front door open overnight. So yes, it would be extremely useful.
All of these things happening automatically, though, that takes a lot of time and effort to set up and configure. However, you can easily make it much simpler. Just have the system send you an alert when your front door is still unlocked after 10 p.m.
That would probably work best for me.
I think it's as complicated as you would like it to be, right? You don't have to overcomplicate it. You could spend hours or days or weeks customizing things, or you could just go as simple as you want. Three plugs and you're done.
One important thing to consider is not everyone in your household might be as excited as you are about this smart home stuff.
Oh, you're talking about the acceptance factor, the family acceptance factor.
Yeah, I can totally get that. I know some people that don't want to have voice activation or anything like that in their house. So I can completely get what Chris is saying.
Yet he's trying very, very hard to keep the family acceptance factor as high as possible.
I think my wife tolerates me when I do this stuff. She is not a technology person herself. In fact, she makes comments sometimes. She has about a 5-minute threshold to trying to figure something out technology-wise. And she would rather just not do it. It's not that she's not smart enough. She just doesn't care about it, right? So if I go into our home and I say, here's a bunch of stuff, and it only works if you pick up your phone or you talk to the smart speaker or whatever else, that's not going to fly. So I do my best to make sure everything functions as it normally would. So all of my light switches, for example, they're paddle switches, so you can turn them on or off via going and touching them. Or you can do it via the automation, or you can do it via, you know, telling the smart speaker or whatever. So I have multiple ways to do it. But the way that she uses it has to be there, which is tactile touching of the switch.
So you want to add functionality to your home without taking existing functionality away.
I think that's also important for when you have visitors. So you don't want to have to give them a class or an instruction on how to turn on the lights in the bathroom.
And also you don't want to introduce new sources of failure. I mean, sure, when the power goes out, you can't do much, smart home or not. But when the internet is down or, you know, some company's cloud service stops working, you still want to be able to control your home.
Mm-hmm, yeah, very good point. And that one was also something that was important to Chris. He wants everything to run locally. So he went with an open source platform called Home Assistant.
Because it is by far the most complete, most integration-rich platform that you can use.
There are probably thousands of different devices that you can connect to a Home Assistant ecosystem. And it allows for a very detailed setup of those fancy automations that Chris already mentioned.
But it allows you to turn on lights, turn on alarms, turn off things, control your environmental systems, doors, locks, fans, pool pumps. I mean, just everything you can think of it can do.
Sounds so exciting.
I find it crazy because, you know, it's like you notice the difference between some people who are really passionate about something, and Chris makes this sound all so exciting.
Careful, though. With Home Assistant and automations, you need to know what you're doing. Mistakes will happen. And if you get it wrong, you might end up with your house working against you.
Wait, so if you automate too much, things could get out of control?
To some degree, yes. Chris had a funny accident with one of his automations.
I do have one example of an automation kind of gone awry using geolocation. So my wife and I had the apps on our phones, and when we both go away from the house, it should automatically set the alarm. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. That's an automation we can use because she doesn't set the alarm when she leaves. And so it's on to me to do it. Well, if we do geolocation and we're both gone, sure, let's turn the alarm on. Well, we decided to go have a date night, and the grandparents were here watching the kids, and we both left. And guess what happened? The alarm armed itself, and within minutes, the alarm went off, and the kids are running around screaming. The grandparents have no idea what to do. The alarm company calls in. They don't have the secret codes and all that stuff. And so they're trying to call us while we're, I think we were in a movie or something. They're calling us because the alarm's going off. And anyway, that was a crazy thing.
I have also a funny alarm story, but it has nothing to do with automation and everything else. Melina, I'll talk to you about it offline. But anyways, these are always those pesky edge cases that you do not think about.
I can't wait, first of all. And yes, something that works great 99% of the time can cause chaos and anarchy unexpectedly. But Chris has some advice for all of us.
You just have to learn that, you know, some of this stuff where you set up automations, doesn't apply to every situation, and you have to really think through it or just not do it at all.
I find these automations pretty neat. And, you know, I have also a lot of colleagues at ETAS that, you know, try out these kind of algorithms, try out also these kind of open source tools and systems. Mm-hmm. Home Assistant sounds like a tool that Chris is really happy with. And now, you know, coming back to the topic that we had before, talking about Chris's smart home, does it actually work with Matter?
Oh, Shuko, do you think I'm such a rookie? Like, really? Would we have Chris on the show if he wasn't using Matter?
Chris, tell us.
Home Assistant is a test platform for Matter, which is awesome. I have not done a lot of Matter myself. I have a couple of plugs in the wall, and I have one that runs all the time. And I just wanted to see how it actually works. When I step into my office studio that I'm in right now, there's a presence sensor that turns on the lighting in here. And one of the lights is a Matter switch. And I did that specifically because I want to see how stable that Matter switch is.
Okay, to be fair, you know, Matter is relatively new and evolving fast. So while Chris likes the idea of Matter, he wants to see bit by bit if it keeps its promises.
And that's totally fair.
Yeah.
Not every device manufacturer has people like our engineers, Michael, and of course the entire team that he's part of that check everything to the bone before they release and sell something. Speaking of getting things ready for the customer, I think it's time to take a step back and simplify again. Automations, amazing. They're great. I think we all understand the benefits. And Home Assistant is great too. But people who want to keep it a little simpler can have the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, things Bosch Smart Home offers are services. So those are ready-made automations where we use as a controlled user interface to get the most important things going. That means if a user already have a thermostat, a radiator thermostat installed, and then installs a door window contact, the app asks the user if the user wants to control the heating solution with this door window contact. That means if the door window contact gets open, the heating system should automatically shut down for the specific room. We will offer that out of the box and with a very good and guided tour on how to set it up or how to change.
Okay, that is really, really great.
Wow.
I assume a lot of users might appreciate this more guided approach. I love that.
I'm sure. And now let's make it more complicated again, because it's been a little bit too simple for my taste.
Shuko, why?
Because we're a tech podcast. Let's have a little bit of a behind the scenes look at how Michael works on bringing Bosch smart home devices into the Matter universe.
Let's make it complex and complicated again. I'm sure it is more complex than one would imagine. Okay. Let's go for it.
Well, the thing is, Bosch Edge devices are not just talking to Bosch controllers and Bosch commissioners. Our devices also exchange information with devices outside of what Michael can control.
Currently, we offer support for most of the major ecosystems for our voice assistants. So if you want to use Bosch Smart Home with Siri and Apple, you can do it because we are Apple Home certified. If you want to use it with Google, then we have a skill for that that is also Google Home certified. The same way goes with Alexa. And Matter more or less doubles this, because now you can, if you desire to do so, control our home with the voice integration we offer, as well as the Matter integration.
So you can directly connect your device to one of the platforms, or you can use Matter with one of the platforms. All of this communication networking needs to be developed, tested, and then certified. And to make things a little more complicated, the different smart home platforms can have different implementations of Matter.
Right, because it would be boring if they all did it exactly as written in the standard.
Yeah, well, I think Michael would disagree. It pains him when the supposedly perfect Matter song, something doesn't play along as planned.
We have one example that we encountered during development is we included a smart switch, switch that we offer in our ecosystem, which enables the user to trigger a scenario, so a predefined set of rules, or change the light temperature or something like that. And it is offered within Meta, and we included it because it is a product you want to be able to be Meta controllable, so we offered it in a Meta bridge. Unfortunately, not every major ecosystem supported that switch. And it was not even not supported, which would be fine, but it was supported the wrong way.
And here's what happened.
A switch, usually you can turn it off, you can turn it on, or if it's a momentary switch, you will just tap on it and it will trigger it once or twice. For that specific ecosystem, it was displayed as a slider, like a dimmable lamp within that slider. So we did the decision, in order not to confuse the customer, not to bring the switch into the Meta world, even if we did everything and even got it certified, due to the lag that is currently happening for certain ecosystems.
Ooh, okay, that's a bummer.
Yeah, but Michael says things are getting better. They're in touch with the ecosystem providers, and Matter is getting better and more reliable every day.
And I hope the very best for Matter, because I think it's a very good system, even it might be a little bit more complicated than it needs to be, but it's still very much the beginning, and I see very good progress. So I think it can become the new standard, but it still takes a lot of effort to get there.
Okay, this almost sounds like wrapping up. But before we do, what would you say, now in the end, is the best thing about Matter?
Okay, I think the best thing is that it makes buying tech easier. You know, a little bit like USB-C. You can charge any smartphone using any charger and any cord. Same with Matter devices. If your door or window contact, to stick to Michael's example, is Matter compatible, it will just work within any Matter network. With a small caveat. Meta networks can be Wi-Fi based or Ethernet based, or based on the wireless communication standard, Thread. So you still need to pay a little bit of attention. Now here's Michael's favorite feature. He's basically saying, if you start building your Matter-based smart home, Jeff, I'm definitely calling you for this one, that doesn't mean you need to start buying stuff.
You might already have a Meta controller in your home. You might already have a smart speaker. You might have an Alexa. You might have a Siri. You might have a Google Assistant. Usually, those devices are already Meta enabled. So it might be very well the easiest thing just to use the device to get you started. But keep in mind, you don't have to use them, or you have to limit yourself to them, because Meta enables you to have more than one controller. That means if your family prefers, for instance, an Alexa and you prefer a Google Assistant, then you can add both to the same network and both will work within the same network, something that wasn't really possible earlier.
Oh, and that sounds like a very, very good way to increase the family acceptance factor.
Totally. So yeah, I think that wraps it pretty much nicely. Matter allows you to set everything up to your liking. You can interact with the smart home exactly the way you'd like to. You can make it as simple or as complex as you'd like to. And you can combine devices from different manufacturers. If, however, you'd like something that Michael has thoroughly tested, I'd recommend to stick with the Plan B, so the Bosch products.
B as in Bosch products. Wise words, Shuko, to wrap it up. Thank you so much. This has been a pleasure as usual.
Thank you, Milena, and thanks again, everyone, for listening. Don't forget to join us again next month when From Know-How to Wow leaves the home environment.
Yes, because we are going to space.
And I cannot wait. Milena, take care.
Take care, Shuko, and please don't leave the front door open. Please don't do that anymore.
I'll try.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
From Know-How to Wow. The Bosch Global Podcast.